Shall we now turn to the letter of Apostle Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll read verse 1. Chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And the title this evening is, Have You Put On the Christian Habits? Have you put on Christian habits? You have read and you continue to read the Word of God, but have you got into a habit of living by the commands of the Lord? Have you and I made these principles our day-to-day habit? Have we put on Christian habits? As the Word of God says, we read in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Followers of God. We see many times the father walks in the front and the little boy or a girl walks behind him, and she seemed to imitate the way the father or the mother walks. Following. Doing what the father does. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, we are told, In this the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. God says, Be perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect. Dear brethren, we belong to the Father and the Son that is perfect. The Son of God has called us to follow him. We are called to imitate Jesus in his perfection. There's a saying, and I read this quote, Sow a thought and you reap an act. Sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny. Once a person comes to live in the Spirit of God, when the Spirit comes in you, it alters our life. Our old life begins to die and we live anew. We no more live according to the former conduct. The habits of our old life must die, dear brethren, and we must put on the new mind, the mind of our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Why could Apostle Paul say this? It is because his mind, after his conversion, was altered. After Christ coming into Paul's life and making him his disciple and the child of God, it dramatically and radically affected his daily living. His lifetime habits changed. It changed before becoming a one in Christ Jesus, before entering the kingdom of God. Anyone could tell by the way he dressed, by the knowledge he had, by the things he spoke, and by his behavior that Paul was a Pharisee, a very radical, militant Pharisee, willing to kill and willing to die for his traditions. He followed the habits of his tradition to the dot. He writes to the saints in Philippi concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. perfect. The way this sect of Pharisees lived their lives affected his daily life. The teaching, the life, and the behavior of the sect of the Pharisees permeated his his whole being. He reaped according to the habit he sowed. Now, you and I can recall the life we lived. We can surely recall and remember how we, following certain celebrity or some ideology, traditions, worshiping the dark force, or going after those famous sportsmen, or our economic class, business affiliation, it affected our life, isn't it? Our day-to-day life, the way we dressed and the way we carried ourselves and the things we spoke and behaved. People could tell he is the follower of so-and-so thing or person or company. The question to be asked this evening is, what is it that can make others know that you and I belong to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ? What has changed in our life to stand out as a Christian? What has changed in your life to stand out as a Christian? Has the life of Christ, the commandments of the Lord God, permeated into your life that your habits, your speech, the way you dress and the way you think make people recognize you as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you think this is important? Or are Christians simply to be camouflaged with the rest of the crowd? There are Christians who have a perfect way of merging with the people they associate with. If they are with the pub-going friends, they go to the pub. I'm with you, yes. If you are with the party-enjoying friends, they do as the party animals do. If they are with the charismatic, they do as the charismatics do. If they are with the Roman Catholic or the Church of England or liberals, they do exactly, they fit in well. Are you one of them? God calls us to be followers of him. The Lord Jesus Christ commands to follow him and put on his mind, his ways. Well, let us pick up few habits that are so very essential to put on as Christian man and woman and to show to the world whom we represent. Number one, and I'm not saying that this is the number one habit to cultivate among all the rest of the commands or habits of a Christian. I'm just picking up few random commands so that we get an idea of putting on the habits as Christians. So number one on our list is never be late for worship. Never be late for worship. Remember, you belong to the Lord God Almighty. You belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are set aside to worship, to praise, and thank the Lord and his Son, Jesus Christ. You are a holy nation, a holy nation. You are given the royal priesthood. Can a royal guard in the king's regiment be late? Can you be late at work? Can you be late for lunch or dinner time? Yes, you can be late in the canteen where dinner is served, but you will not get your food if you are late. You cannot be late at work. You will be given a warning. Your pay will be deducted. Or maybe you may even be sacked. But we feel we can come in the church anytime. Who questions us? No one. If you have been in the army, you know that you cannot be late. You will be punished. You'll have to do many push-ups. When it comes to coming to the place of worshiping our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, many Christians are in a constant habit of coming late, and it does not bother their conscience at all. This is their habit. This is their way of life. There is no fear of God and no sense of being ashamed. There is no respect shown to God. Oh, dear friends, what you do, you will pass it on to your children. Being late is not a good representation of the Lord that came on the appointed time to save sinners like you and me. Our God is a God of time. At the appointed time, he told Abraham he will come and Sarah, his wife, will bear a son. And he did. The Bible says, in his time, he makes all things beautiful. Our God is a God of history. History is time. Events take place in time. God acts in history. In your history. He does not delay when he has to act with you and me. I would encourage you, dear brethren, to make getting on time your way of life. Never be late in anything in life. Plan and prepare your coming to church. There is traffic, there is the parking and other logistics to take into account. Come at least 10 minutes early to church. While you are here, you can prepare for the worship. You can pick up a few items of rubbish, maybe, if you see around, or put the Bibles and hymn books in order. I know there are certain men appointed for this, but nevertheless, whatever you can do, you can pray that new men, women, young people may be brought in to hear God's word. Prepare your soul to receive God's holy word. It's a good discipline to be on time everywhere for all our appointments. Well, now don't say in your mind, thank you, Pastor, she needs this message. Well, no, we all have to, isn't it? Work out. Number two, don't complain, don't moan. Our Christian life in many ways is like the life in an army. A soldier is provided with all the necessity of life. He gets his food, he gets his uniform and shelter. And while he's in the army, he must be prepared to live in the most simplest way. He must adjust himself to live in the smallest place and space. He must be content with what he has and be ready for war. Living in the smallest place and with least amount of food, water, clothing, and shelter must be the habit of a soldier. He must cultivate the habit of contentment and live by it. When the people of Israel were called out of Egypt to the promised land, they had to be ready with their staff and take the bare necessities. They had to go through the barren land. They had to trust God for all their daily needs. They had to live in a tent. They had to adjust to live with the bare necessities of life and be content. In the army, all that the soldier has is one bag, his uniform, his kit, and few other things in the bag, and he lives in a smaller space. He is not to grumble or moan about it. If he does, he would be considered as unfit for the army and sent home. The people of Israel mourned and complained against God. They constantly desired to have that which they had in Egypt, and even desired to go back to Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt, but they preferred that life instead of depending on the Lord God and looking forward to enter into the promised land. And God was angry and told them that none of them would see the promised land except Joshua and Caleb. Only these two from the thousands of Israelites. These two, because they fully followed the Lord and trusted in the Lord and were content with God, whatever God provided them, they entered into the promised land. Two among the rest, the first lot. Of course, then children were born and they entered too. Well, the word of God says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therefore content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Brethren, let us learn to be content. Be not anxious. Seek first God's kingdom. Make contentment a habit, a way of life. Always be ready to give good witness. Always be ready to represent the Savior who did not have a head to lay his head. And yet his heart was filled with heaven. He was rich beyond measure, and yet he became poor to save us. The Bible says, be rich in God. Be rich in God. You have entered into the service of the Lord of heaven and earth. Are you content? Are you content? Are you ready to live in the smallest place, shortest space, and with only the bare necessities? A day may come, you and I may be on the run, and the days are not far, dear friends. Are you prepared for the war that God has called you for? As Christians, we are in the battlefield all the time. This is not our permanent home. No, dear friends, we are not here yet arrived. Our destiny is in that holy city which God has prepared for you and me. Remember, you will take nothing with you when you depart from this earth. All the enlargement you need to make is of the heart, filling it up with love and faith and hope that God has given you. Make it a habit. Make it a habit to make the Lord Jesus Christ your treasure. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Has the life of our Savior, the life of Paul, and the apostles who imitated the Lord changed your life? Has it changed my life? Are you on active duty towards the Lord? Are you disciplined? Are you become the leader in the matter of following the commands of the Lord? Has it become your habit? Are you become resilient, tough, robust, hard in carrying out the things of Christ? Have you become adaptable to the things of God and His calling? Are you looking forward to be honored by your Lord and King, the Creator of the universe? Are you waiting to be decorated as the best? Number three, polishing your soul. Polishing your soul. I read and hear that a man in the army has to keep his shoes spotlessly shining. Men in the army are to be intentionally well-dressed. But it is the shoes that speaks something about him. It speaks personally about him and the organization he represents. He wears the uniform on behalf of the nation he serves. His uniform, his shining shoes, shouts out loud that he is a professional. He's a professional. It sends a strong message, don't mess with me. It sends a message that his weapons are well greased and oiled and are ready to be used. His kit is kept in order. He's ready for a countdown anytime. Why keep your shoes polished? Why make such a habit? Why examine it? Well, if you do this as a habit, you protect your shoes from being worn out, from being creased. Polish does not allow water to seep through and therefore protects your feet from becoming wet. If there is rain, polishing regularly makes the leather last longer. Moreover, it feels comfortable. Besides, if in habit of examining and polishing regularly, you may detect its damage and you can give it for repair and save the shoes. It boils down to habit. Habit. As a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, being born of the Holy Spirit, the polishing of our soul is absolutely necessary. It is not the shoes, but the soul that is to be polished every day, speaking metaphorically. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, died that we might be given a new birth. Our souls, by His blood, are washed clean and made new. Now it must be kept new and glowing and shining. Keeping the soul clean is called sanctification. And we must do this in fear and trembling. With due diligence, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 onward, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, that is, not in lusting and desiring what is forbidden, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. Now, how are we to keep our souls sanctified? This is by applying the Word of God to our souls. The Word of God, His command, become the polish for our souls, to preserve, to repair, to renew, to keep it from being damaged, so that no sin enter into our souls and wear it down and cause us pain and grief. And by the brightness of our souls, by the beauty of our souls, by the strength and power of our souls, you and I will be sending a strong message to the people around us. You cannot mess up with us. You cannot. The world will know that you are a professional, that you represent the righteous King of Kings, the Creator of heaven and earth, that you wear the robe of sanctification on behalf of the kingdom, the nation you serve. And this nation is the holy nation formed and established by the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Sins and disobedience to God's word causes creases in our souls. The Word of God straightens the creases of our sins. Therefore, applying the polish of the Word of God to our soul must be the ultimate habit. Why is it that well-polished shoes stand out for a soldier from the rest of his attire? It is a feat that leads him where he is called. He stands on his feet for the call of duty. we as Christians, we are given with the shoes of the gospel of peace. Wherever we are, we live by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, people must be able to see the gospel lived out in our lives. How do we get into the habit to polish our souls by the word of God? It is by knowing what can cause creases, what can stain our soul and damage our soul. It is by knowing what will keep away the creases and the stains and the damage to our souls. So, for example, we know that people will hate us. But if we hate others the same way, this thought and act will cause a crease in our soul. How to avoid it and keep the soul clean and clear of this crease or damage? Well, the Lord Jesus says, love those who hate you. Pray for those who persecute you and despitefully use you. Apply. We must apply these words to the soul and make it a habit to love and to pray for those that cause you trouble. Don't entertain hateful thoughts. Don't visualize. Don't write a story of how to beat your enemy to shred, especially at night when you're supposed to be sleeping. The Word of God says, forgive those that sin against you. Make this a habit. Forgiveness is a wonderful habit. The Lord God is always, always forgiving us. Let this habit be ingrained in our hearts, to forgive those that do things and say things against us. Bless them. Get into the habit of blessing whoever causes hurt to us. Anxiety. Anxiety is a terrible killer. We all know it. It can ruin not only your soul, but your body also. The Word of God says, do not be anxious. Allowing anxiety to seep into you, rub into you, retain in your soul is sin and very damaging to your whole nervous system. Use the Word of God. Obey His commands. Polish your soul constantly with God's Word. Jesus says, you cannot add anything by being anxious. Cast all your burdens on the Lord, for He cares for you. Seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, and all the necessary things will be given to you, says the Lord. God knows your needs. Be not anxious. It's a command. It's a command. To be anxious is to live like the pagan, Jesus says. You and I are not pagan. We are past that stage, dear. Do not return back to the same habit that you had before. If you are anxious, it will be seen and it will be heard by others. They will see that this man or a woman does not represent Christ the Lord. You know, chapter 12 of the Gospel of Luke helped me personally tremendously to cast away anxiety. Not to be anxious has become now a habit. When it comes to grip me, I use the polish of chapter 12 of Luke. To use the words of the Lord from this chapter has become a habit now. Lustful thoughts. What about lustful thoughts that come to batter us and cause so much damage to our souls? It is amazing to find ourselves suddenly thinking about some lustful desires. Hey, where did you come from? Where did you come from? How did it happen? How did this thought come into my mind? It catches me, it catches you unaware. And if I'm not careful, I play with it. I entertain it. I make my soul dirty. It is like deliberately walking in the muck and making my shoes dirty. But then there is a deliberate activating of such desires. And for many, it has become a habit. It has become a habit not only to imagine, but actually to watch porn material. Oh, dear brethren, is there a way to stop this damage, this wearing and tearing of our soul? Yes, there is. Get into the habit of polishing your souls on that particular spot where there is a terrible crease. Take it to the cobbler of your soul. You can throw away a pair of shoes if it is beyond repair, but you cannot throw away your soul, can you? One soul is all you and I have. One life is all you and I have. After that, death and judgment. Those who do not know the forgiveness of the Lord, those who have not tasted the forgiveness of the Lord, if you are in this habit, you can be assured that you cannot get out of it till you are 90 maybe, or even 100. Well, how do I stop this and be liberated from it? Make a habit to know and think that the Lord God has made you into his temple. You see, the Lord God makes you into his temple, the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Lord God dwells in you. Your body and your soul, although separate, are one, intimately joined one to the other. Our bodies will be raised up and be fitted to the perfect soul one day. You will be you with your new body. What you do with the body and mind affects the soul, dear brethren. Make it a habit to know this and say this and believe that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God says, flee from sin. Flee from sin. So flee. Shut up the phone, TV, and get involved with godly things. Just when your mind is leading you toward this filthy habit, call up a sick brother. Visit a brother or a sister that needs some encouragement. Read the Word. Read a life of a great soldier of God. Pray for yourself. Be a man and a woman of prayer. Be devoted to the Lord. Constantly remember the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise him, thank him, sing a hymn, read a psalm. Think about Joseph, who ran away from that wicked woman who constantly tried to get him. Isn't it? Take some gospel tracts and go on the street. There are men, women, young people waiting to hear the gospel. Keep this in mind. Sin begins when the desire comes in you, not after you have done it. It begins when the desire comes in you. You and I must make it a habit to get rid of the desire the moment it comes up. God will honor those that honor him. And he's able to set us free if we trust him. He will. Now, for further studies on Christian habits, you can take each command, and ask yourself, has this command become a habit in my life? Has it become a habit in my life? For example, the Word of God says, greet one another. Greet one another. Salute one another. Apostle Paul uses the word salute 15 times in Romans chapter 16. Altogether, we find salute 33 times, greet 16 times, and greeting 3 times. Is that a habit with you? Is that a habit with you to greet the brethren, not only those you are familiar with and belong to your clique? No, greet all. Greet all. Look at people in the face. It is not a sin to look at people in the face. Not at all. Greet. Perhaps you may not see that brother or sister again. Greet in some way or the other. at least smile. Smile, it does not cost to smile. Nod your head or say, God bless you, God be with you. Don't be serious and choke your nervous system. Don't constipate your nervous system. Make greeting your habit. It's a godly habit. It spread brotherliness. It is good for the soul and good for the body. Your good and friendly nature will show that you belong to some special nation, the kingdom of God. Why are you always happy, they will say in their mind. Some may even dare to ask you the reason for your happiness at your workplace and other places in your neighborhood. Lastly, it is not last in the Bible, but for us today on the Lord's Day, for I must come to an end. Dress modestly. Dress modestly. The Bible commands us to dress modestly. This is something that is not spoken about much in our churches. But dressing up sensually can cause brothers in the Lord to sin. Why become a crease in the soul of your granddad, your dad, your brother, your boss, your colleagues, and strangers? This world is already sexualized to the brim. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 and onward. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness, that is, reverence and demanding respect, and sobriety, which means with soundness of mind, self-control, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh woman professing godliness with good works. I'm not saying this. The Word of God is saying this. It is a command. It is a command. The Spirit of Christ in you represents you as the daughter of the Heavenly Father, the holy and righteous God. You represent the daughter of the Heavenly King. And the way you dress should make men to respect you. They should know that you have a sound mind and self-control. And if you are brought up in a culture where from your childhood you are made to wear tight-fitting and made to think that people should respect you, then you will demand respect and acceptance from others no matter what you do and how you live. Thieves, harlots, and gang leaders demand more respect today. Gives it to them. But please ask your dad, your granddad, your husband, your brother, ask your pastor, ask them to be honest and tell you, do you get tempted? Does it trigger lustful thoughts and images when you see a woman dressed up with sensual clothing? Don't take a casual answer. Tell them to tell you the truth. I'm a pastor. I'm in Christ for the last 36 years. I'm 70 years old. It brings lustful thoughts to me when I see a woman dressed up very immodestly. Let me tell you, the lust of the flesh will not die even if you are 120 years old. It does not. It does not. So make it a habit, dear sister, to practice wearing modest clothing and teach your children to do the same. Don't follow the world. Don't follow the world. You are the child of the Holy God. But what can men do with unbelieving, ungodly women? We cannot stop them, can we? So we make it a habit to turn away our eyes. Job says in chapter 31, 1, I made a covenant, he said, with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Other translation says, why should I look at a woman with lust? Why should I look at a woman with lust? To look and lust after a woman, Jesus says that you have already committed adultery. We must put on the mind of Christ. We must do our best to get into the habit of applying the Word of God to our soul so that we carry the sanctified soul wherever we go. So, one is to immediately turn away your eyes. Another thing is to make it a habit to pray for that woman whom you have seen. Besides, reason out. Why should I bring a stain on my soul? I want to keep my soul clean and shining. Say to yourself, I will not allow that woman to ruin my day, to make the Holy Spirit grieve in me. And it is very helpful at that moment to think of the Lord, our Savior, to take His precious name on our lips. It is amazing the peace and the self-control you can receive when you think and take the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. His name is power. His name is peace. Well, let us pray for one another, dear brethren, that we may live a sanctified life, pleasing to the Lord our God. Let us get into seriously putting on the Christian habits. Our destiny is to put on the mind of God, and to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. O gracious Lord our God, how frank thou art, how truthful thou art, how straightforward thou art. Why should you fear anyone that you may compromise on your holiness, on your righteousness? And Lord, thou wantest to be as thou art, in the sense that we are not to compromise. We are thy children. We carry thy spirit within us. We have been given the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the Word of God, which is the sword, and the shoes of the gospel of peace. O Lord, help us to use this in the combat, spiritual combat. Lord, thou hast made us the soldiers, thy soldiers. Help us to be faithful to thee to the end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.